I asked the chairs to give me a few minutes to speak because I wanted to announce my retirement and maybe take a chance in these few minutes to share a few stories that I've learned in the past 9 ontology summits, about 15 years of work with the ontology community and over 4 decades of work with information systems. And of course, the most important part is that I wanted to thank everyone and say goodbye here. So going to the next slide, the very beginning of the ontology summit, it actually started with at least the version that I have been involved, started in 2006 when we had the Upper Ontology Summit. At that time, 4 people got this started: Pat Cassidy, Leo Oberst, Steve Ray, and myself. And 3 of us were ontolog, and of course Steve straddled both communities. And NIST was kind enough to host us. At that time, it was still a 2-day conference. I mean, it's not as elaborate as this. I'll go into that a little more. So we had 2 co-organizers that year. And the great thing was all the stewards of open upper ontologies were represented, I mean, practically. Barry Smith from Buffalo, Doug Leonard was there from Psych, Nicola Varino was there representing Dolce, and Aldo Gangemi was on the phone representing Dolce DNS, John Bateman representing the GUM model, global upper model. At that time, actually, it wasn't even called GUM. I think the acronym came after 2006. Matthew West was there representing ISO 15926. Michael Gruninger, if you can see him in that picture, a lot younger than he is now, representing PSL. And Evan Peace was there representing Sumo. It was really a big thing. And the motivation was, I mean, why did we want all the upper ontology people there? Because upper ontology is like a religion. Everybody believes they have the right religion, and everybody else was wrong. And we come to the recognition that, I mean, if we keep on thinking that, we'll never get anywhere. So that whole group came together. Actually, quite a few people from that year is still in this room. I still remember, like, Michael Ashold was there. Of course, Leo was driving it, and so on. And we realized we were part of the problem that needs to get resolved. And we did. And one of the things that also got us started was sort of drafting a joint communique. So the first year we had this work process called the joint communique. Probably was a Steve Ray concoction. And that tradition sort of went forward, although, I mean, it was like 2 pages the first year, and it keeps growing. And Nicola Guarino was there, and he said, this is great, but this is not the first one. 8 years ago, some rich guy in Germany actually brought all the top ontologists of the world together in Heidelberg. That was, I think, the week after they had the first VOICE, the Formal Ontology and Information Systems Conference if it's Nicola, probably in Trento or somewhere in Italy. And this whole group of people were there in Heidelberg. And Nicola was saying, sadly enough, they all left still fighting each other. So nothing really went on, I mean, for another 8 years until we got together at the 2006 Upper Ontology Summit at NIST. So this is sort of the organization that got us all started. So going on to the next slide. We continue to innovate, and so fast forward 9 seasons after we saw the process that Christy just presented. Throughout these 9 years, we chose very clever themes. I mean, either the co-chairs or the co-organizers picked the theme that really would move the community forward every year. And every year, it's not just a 3 or 4 month event, but something that has a very long tail. Ontology-based standards still goes on. Open ontology repositories still moves on. Of course, we still argue what is an ontology. that's a regular topic. But over the years, more co-organizers, more organizing team members, more contributors, more participants, and we are reaching out to more people. The organizing process innovation were steady as well. We moved from a 2-day conference to this year a 4-month series of both virtual and on-site events with like 15 virtual sessions, 6 hackathons, in a community library, an ontology repository, a pretty website, an ugly website, and so on. And we use an organization model structure which is fairly unique to network. Bob Johansson and Rob Swigart wrote in 1996, I believe, sort of coining this term called the fishnet organization. So if you look at an organization like the fishnet, it's something that you can pick up and form a temporary hierarchy. So, I mean, we have a community, everyone is equal, but temporarily we form a hierarchy. We've got leaders, we've got champions, we've got a sort of temporary structure to execute a task, and when the task is over, the organization disbands. So that's quite novel. I mean, people talk about hierarchical structure, organization, matrix organization. We are neither. We're essentially a fishnet organization. And I believe we established a model where, on what a broader network community of practice might accomplish, particularly when it includes a lot of very smart people. Very smart people tend not to work with one another very well, and the Ontology Summit has so far proved that wrong. I mean, if we organize it properly, it will actually be good. So, of course, if I say I'm retiring, I'm probably pretty old. I mean, I'm not the oldest in the room, but I'm old enough. I mean, and I have to say I've been blessed and very, very lucky. Blessed in the sense that things that I've worked on constantly become sort of much more successful. Not because of me, but I mean, it's just the nature of the people that I run into. I mean, even my college roommate ended up being the MIT math department chair. Of course, when we were college roommates, we don't know it. I was looking up Tim Finan and I found out that we probably overlapped, at MIT, because when I was at RLE and we walk around, and Terry Winogrand's Blocks World was actually in the hallway. You probably remember that. And like 20 years later, I ended up working with Terry and mounted the Doug Engelbart Colloquium at Stanford. So, I mean, all these things come back, and, I mean, people like Andy Shane, who's in the Antelope community became like NASA CTO, or of course, I mean, somebody like George, I mean, with, I mean, getting the top job in information systems R&D in the country and blessing us. So I've contributed some time. I mean, of course, a lot of people did. I did some too. I did some work. I actually did put in some money. I mean, people probably wouldn't realize how much it costs to stand up an infrastructure that could sustain or that could host this kind of work. When I first met Mark Newsom, Mark asked, "Who's funding you?" I said, "Nobody, maybe my family." And he said, "Okay, let's work together." And so we did. And I come from sort of fairly different background from most people. I came from manufacturing. So production means a lot more to me than most researchers. So most of our infrastructure are triple redundant, is run on a tier one data center, and so on. But most importantly, I think I put in a lot of passion, and that was the little something that Philip Bourne was saying. I mean, when you want community, maybe there's a little bit of magic somewhere. And I think that's passion. I put in a lot of that. And voila. Come to today, all the stars are lined up. I mean, if you want money, there's plenty of money. Look at the Watson, just sort of put together a division that has a $1 billion budget, hiring thousands of people, $100 million in venture capital funds, other acquisitions. I was with a bunch of VCs just earlier this month, and so they were talking about, I mean, investing into AI-related things. And I asked, I mean, is the AI winter over? And they said yes. Leo was sending me an article saying that, someone was writing and say the AI now is officially something that is a darling, I mean, to the venture capital industry as of late 2013, early 2014. So we've got jobs, we've got money, if you want them. But are we ready? Let's say IBM, every 100 people, IBM wants, we want one ontologist in there. That might mean like dozens of ontologists. I mean, do we have that many good ontologists to feed just one company, let alone, I mean, the Googles, the Yahoos, the Facebooks, and the rest? I think we are falling short. So we might need to go back onto previous year summit communiques and see how we could run up the education, maybe getting the notions into the education system, and so on. Significant accomplishments, W3C RDF, I mean, with of course the original work and the recent work that Kat Hayes and Gang has been putting in, ISO Common Logic, BioPortal, of course things that I'm close to, people who are close to, like Apple Siri, IBM Watson, good relations. I was just having a chat with Martin Happ, and I said, why is good relations good? And he sent me a whole bunch of things. And I promised, I mean, if people were on Ontolog Forum, you saw that, I promised I'm going to make that post onto the Ontolog Forum. Google Knowledge Graphs, schema.org, I mean, all these things are really putting ontology right into mainstream. I mean, we've never been that close before. And I, as I said, I came from different backgrounds besides just what production means. I've also seen things. I mean, I was telling George that one of the things as a futurist, I work together with futurists a lot. One of the things they say is, I mean, it takes 25 years to be an overnight sensation, or the overnight success. I mean, this is what ontology will become. I mean, I came from hardware, actually. When I was at RLE, I actually got to work with the PDP-1. So actually, John Toole, who, when he was leading the computer museum, history museum, asked if I wanted to help restore the PDP-1. At that time, I was helping restore Engelbart's NLS, so I turned him down. And that was a regret, actually, because when they presented the restored PDP-1, John McCarthy was there. So John McCarthy and Doug Engelbart are my two heroes. So I missed that big opportunity, but I actually unplugged, wire-wrapped things onto gates that are made up of two transistors, maybe two gates on a car. And of course, MIT lets you sort of actually go into the back plane and do things like that. And it was just wonderful. We go on small scale integration when you can only work with things like and, or, not, exclusive, or. And that's everything you have to go with. And 25 years later, you've got computers that could do all these things. I mean, to me, that's magic. So I believe in magic. So that on that note, I agree with Philip Warren. So just keep dreaming and don't shortchange your vision. And so again, thank you and goodbye. And it's been great, and it's been a real honor working with each and every one of you here. And one thing I'm really proud of is to have kept it free and open for the community, because I think ontology is very fundamental. And if that is left in commercial hands, people will have to spend a lot more time sort of getting around it. So we've kept a lot of this stuff free and open. George asked me what I'm going to do. One of the things, even after I retire, I'm going to keep the archive open and probably stand it up in a sustainable way. I'm still working out how. And as I told people like Leo and Michael Grunberger, I don't have a plan yet, but within the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to talk to everyone that I'm providing service to, like IAOA, Stanford, Sumo, Adam Peace, and so on. I mean, people that I'm hosting, and to work themselves out of depending on me and depend on somebody else. So, thank you.
We have an unscheduled event, a brief one here. I think when you saw Christy going through Track M about the organization and the planning and the administration that gets done for Ontology Summit, the person who's been doing that for many, many years has been Peter. I met Peter at VerticalNet 2000. He was a program manager in Palo Alto, and the ontologists from Horsham, Pennsylvania. We went out there and harassed them. You know, they wanted stuff done. We said, "Well, we want to argue." You know, same as always. So, Peter became convinced about the value of ontologies then and ontological engineering. So you you take the work that's done for the Ontology Summit and then multiply it 10 or 20 times for all of Ontolog Forum, that's a lot of work that Peter's been doing behind the scenes. He was sold on the value of ontologies, and he's really been, including ontology community, a community for ontology. He's been kind of the hidden support for all of us in Ontolog and Ontology Summit ever since. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to honor Peter with a paper, unfortunately, so far, a certificate of appreciation. We're calling this the first Peter Yim Award for outstanding service and support of ontological engineering. Peter Yim in recognition of, and Michael and I as co-chairs of Ontology Summit 2014. I put tomorrow's date on because we weren't sure when we were going to be able to present this to you, but we want you to have that, and it's a beginning. We hope to have something more parchment or even, you know, maybe human skin or something, you know, but unfortunately all we had was paper at this point. But I want to express our own appreciation for what you've done, Peter. I'm trying to convince people that you should get like a dollar for every reused ontology in the world as donation. But so far, not too many takers. But
I treasure this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and please give them a round. Thank you, Peter.